Well, welcome. Glad you came out today. This is a time that starts really a big part of history, all in the sense of our Christian history. Sometimes year after year, maybe we get to the point of Easter and we're more focused on the fun things. But in Christendom, we have to look as what did Jesus do for me? Remember in Genesis, it talks about Abraham offering his son. That's what God asked him to do, but he provided a sacrifice, and Isaac didn't die. Later comes Jesus to be a sacrifice for the world for their sins, and yet he will die. I was looking at this passage, and I thought, wouldn't it be interesting if we were jury ourselves, and we heard the accusations that were made? Basically, six that were focused on, and there was more probably to follow because more would give testimony. So today, you get to be a judge, not a judge, maybe more a jury. So you've got jury duty today. And what we'll look at is the six accusations, and they're going to prove one or two things. He is God, he is the Messiah, or he's a fake. And they said he was abusing his power. And it was not of God. So when you leave, you can check your parking ticket in with Carol, and she'll go ahead and make sure she stamps it so you don't get charged. You won't get jury fee, okay? You're just part of the jury. It's interesting because as this goes on, Jesus says what? Nothing. Nothing. He lets the accusations occur. Now, if you were being charged for something, would you defend yourself? Would you just give it up to the judicial system and a prosecuting attorney and say, go ahead, you don't have anything, I'll take a chance? Jesus knew that it wasn't about this trial. It was about what he was to do for mankind. And this was a process. Him and God had already talked about it, remember? In the garden. If there's any other way, let this pass from me. But he was to do the Father's will. So now we come to court. And let's look at some of the things. One of the things is violating the Sabbath law. Remember, as you look at things, the Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, all had the law, the Torah, then they added to it. And they expected, when it was their turn to defend their purpose, to look at it and say, did you break the Sabbath? Here are some things. John 5, 1 through 18. The Lord of the Sabbath, Jesus, healed a man who had been unable to walk for 38 years. Jesus told the lame man to pick up his bed and walk. Folks, I'm telling you now, that happened on the Sabbath. There are six other days this man could have come and got healed. But why was it the Sabbath? He's breaking our law. Next, Mark 3, 1 through 6. He entered again into the synagogue, and a man was there whose hand was withered. They were watching him to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, get up, come forward. Folks, again, why did he choose this day? Six other days this man could come by, and why do they have to do it in the synagogue? Why can't we just have that privately done? This man, I am telling you, has broken our law of the Sabbath. Luke 13, 10, 17, and he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. There was a woman who was 18 years with sickness caused by a spirit. She was double bent, could not straighten up at all. And when Jesus saw her, he called over to her and said, woman, you are free from your sickness. Jury, I tell you, the Lord did this, this man did this again on the Sabbath. There are 6 days before the Sabbath. Why was this not done? Why in our synagogue? Matthew 12:2, but the Pharisees saw that they said to him, look, your disciples do not do what is lawful on the Sabbath. So not only is he breaking the law, those that are following him are coming and doing things on the Sabbath. He should be following and teaching as a rabbi or as a teacher that the Sabbath is holy and these things should not be done. Mark 3:3, he said to the man with the withered hand, get up and come forward. Mark 3:2, they were watching, see if he would what? Heal on the Sabbath. The summary, basically, Luke 13:14, the first thing is the breaking the Sabbath, but the synagogue official, our rule is 6 days you work, and it should be done. So come during those 6 days if you want to get healed, but not on the Sabbath. Number one law I want to let you know very clearly, as you're religious and you follow your religious teaching, you are not to have this done on the Sabbath. This man chose to do these things on the Sabbath. Charge number one. Charge number two, I want you to tell you that this beautiful temple we have in Jerusalem, all the things that have been done for it, he has threatened that the temple be destroyed. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy. John 2:15. So he made a whip out of cords. He drove all the temple courts, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned the tables. Is this a way to act at the temple? To cause an uproar? To throw people that have come to be at our temple and throw them out? They've been here for years doing this. And this man takes it upon himself and throws a fit and wasn't arrested, but I want to put this as a charge of not only breaking the Sabbath, but also looking at doing things that are against our temple. And they passed and railed at him, wagging their heads and saying, thou destroyest the temple and build it in 3 days. So we hear teaching now, where he's teaching his disciples, he's teaching others, and any of you that might have been listening to him too, threatens to take our temple down and build it back in 3 days. It's taken us years to build this thing. There's no one way that he's coming back, and we're not going to listen to this man. We're not going to be under his governorship. This is another violation. John 2:19, Jesus had answered him and told him that. The next thing we would like to tell you is that this man has practiced sorcery, exorcism of people, and said that he has the power over demons. How dare he? In Matthew 12:22 and Luke 11:14, it reports he delivered a blind and mute demonic man from his illness. There's another man who was manic. When we have evidence in Matthew 8:28-34, Mark 5:1-20, and Luke 8:26. This is the first of two occasions in which Jesus performed a miracle in a way that with destructive results, the death of pigs. One of our people who is in agriculture lost tons of money because in some way, in the way that he worked, he caused these pigs to go mad and they ran off and killed themselves. Now, some of you may have farms, and you may have cattle and livestock. Do you not know the value of your livestock? How is it that this man would waste somebody's livestock? and not make any retribution. There's an account in the Matthew that informs us actually two demon-possessed men. One was healed and one was not. Why did he just choose one? Why would he do such a thing? And what gives him the right and say that he has the power to remove the demon? Now, when Jesus had ridden the first day of the week, he appeared to Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene, we all know about her, don't we? Seven demons inside this woman. What right does he have to interfere in her life and have us be around her that these devils, he said, he removed? There was a boy that was possessed, Matthew 17, 14 through 18. Mark 9, 14, 29 gives us the evidence and the story of that. This is his third charge we bring to you. Practicing sorcery and the power over demons. The next that we have is probably one of the worst. But I just want to tell you before that when we were looking at things, there was one of our leaders, Nicodemus. Do you know, remember him? And remember his teaching? He said he verified these things. The next is that he wanted to show that he was, believe this, he claimed to be the Messiah, this Christ. On Mark 2, can you believe this? He claimed that he was the Lord of the Sabbath with authority over it. And that's his reason to do what he did. He said he took the divine name in John 8:58 and Exodus 3:14. He says he is the I Am. This one, John 5:18, tells us that he's equal to God. In John 14:9, he claimed whoever saw him saw God himself. Would he give an opportunity to correct people treating him as if he were God? He didn't. Matthew 26. He claimed to have the power to raise himself from the dead. Well, we'll see that after this trial, won't we? John 2:19 and 10:17 through 18. He claimed he was going to replace our temple, remember, which was one place that is the house of God, where you get forgiveness of sins. He claimed the glory will be God's through him, John 17:5. He claims that he came from heaven. We know where he came from, don't we? He came from where? Nazareth. And what good can come out of Nazareth? We can kind of see that now, can't we? With these type of charges coming from heaven. We see that. In John 6:38 and John 4:35 and John 3:13, he said if we did anything to him or anyone else, he could send his angels. Now, we all believe angels. We have Father Abraham. We have angels. We have the prophets. But he claims he would send them in Matthew 13:41, Luke 12:8-9. And believe this, that he would go against our religious leaders as Pharisees, scribes, and he tells them that he has the power to forgive your sins. That's why you come to us. But he claims you can go to him. Mark 2:5. And how dare this man, trying to call himself the Messiah, assumes authority to judge. That's our job. What an attitude. He claimed he was sinless. Now, come on. And here, we all know we've sinned. Have you guys sinned? Yes? You back here? You over here by yourself, have you sinned? Are you separated because you never sinned? Have you sinned? You, have you sinned? How dare this man tell us that he has never sinned? This is to let you know of these six claims that he's made, to see him as God's son, as God. He claims that he and God are the same, John 10, 29, 33. In his teaching, he consistently demonstrated his authority over the Torah, Matthew 5, 7. Now, I tell you, folks, these six charges in themselves tell you this man is guilty and he needs to be dealt with. We try to have this matter taken by Pilate. And as you heard this morning, that Pilate decided that he thought the man was innocent. We told Pilate if he does not do something about it, we are going to make sure that he goes higher up. We are not going to stop, folks. We need to get rid of this man. This man is guilty, according to what we have here, very plainly, you should understand. It's your decision now. You do not have to take the guilt on saying, oh, I said he was a guilty man. All we're asking you to do is join us in a saying to say to crucify him. That is what we will do. We will atone in a way that we will give Barabbas, as many of you have asked for, and set him free. But this Jesus, who calls himself the Messiah, needs to be dealt with. You are to ponder that this week. If you were actually the jury, would the evidence put it that he is God and he is who he said he is? Or he is phony and he needs to be dealt with and removed? That's kind of what we're facing at this time of season. But there's a whole other side of it that no matter what you decide, God has a plan. And God has a plan for you and for me that as sinful people, that sin needed to be dealt with. And the only way to deal with a holy God is so that we have a sacrifice, spotless, perfect, that would die and take your sins, that you might have relationship with a holy God. Those were actually probably, there was more. They were trying to get some false witnesses too, to testify against Jesus. But those are the six basic principles that they did and made accusations for and stuck with, that people would be swayed. This is not the Messiah. What say you? I'm not asking you to come out and say it right now, but what about you? In all that you've known in your life, the times that you've been in church, the time that you hopefully all have met the Savior in a way, and he's worked in your life, is he truly the Son of God to you? These six accusations were built to rile and get the crowd going. What does it do for you? If you believe he's the Son of God, it should rally your hearts, and you should be ready as you come even to communion to fall in love with Jesus again, to love him for what he has done, forgiveness of sins, that fellowship, that working in your life. And if you don't know, I don't know if it's one of the six reasons or a different reason, but there will be a day when he will return. And where will you stand? Will you be excited and happy? Or will you be shocked and disappointed you didn't make a decision? Heavenly Father, we thank you that even in the Pharisees, scribes, and the judgments that they made in six different accusations, Jesus didn't speak through them. The example he gave was a life poured out. He is the Messiah. And we come to praise and rejoice even at this season when we know that he has come to die for us. May we be more in tune to what God has done for us and help us serve in that capacity of love that he had for us. In Jesus' name, amen.